Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk about the new covenant for just a few moments. The Bible said that as we receive Holy Communion, we proclaim, we show, S-H-E-W. It's not show, S-H-O-W. It's actually a Greek word that means to proclaim publicly. When we receive Holy Communion, we're making a public proclamation that we're saved today for one reason only, and that is because of His shed blood and His broken body. There's no other way to salvation without the shedding of blood. There is no sacrifice for sin. One major denomination that has went into apostasy is declaring that a particular lady that is the head of it is declaring that we don't need, and I'm quoting her, we don't need in contemporary society and religious worship, we don't need a bloody gospel. And some churches have even went so far as to take the hymnals that they had when they began their denominational structure. All the songs about the blood of Christ are removed from the hymnals. So that the blood of Christ, and believe me, and I can go on and I won't go too far on, there'll be a time and place for that, but when the blood is removed from the gospel, the saving element is removed. Amen. From the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when the blood of Jesus is removed and the saving element is removed and that kind of deception has entered in, then all kinds of other sins are accommodated that God has condemned and said would even put your soul in jeopardy. And sins that He called an abomination to Him are acceptable in a contemporary modern day church setting. So there are churches that will accommodate sins that God said not only are abomination to Him, but will put your soul in jeopardy. We talked about that a couple of Sundays ago. Amen. The kind of sins that would put your soul in jeopardy. And let no man deceive you, because there are people that will tell you it's okay and your soul is too important to let any man tell you. You need to get in the book and see what God has to say, because you're not going to answer to those people. You're going to answer to Him. Amen. So it's real important that we understand exactly what the covenant is that Jesus established. And what it's done in our behalf. And to get so excited about being saved that we just want to love Him and we want to serve Him with everything we are and everything we have. I'm convinced if people fall in love with Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of compromises are here and there. They're going to get close to Him. They're going to want to follow Him. They're going to want His unpolluted truth on Sunday morning. They're going to seek it out. I believe that in the midst of the apostasy, there is a people in the midst of a people. And I believe that people are rising up in this generation. And I believe if we will hold steady and hold the standard biblically, that we are going to see souls saved and we're going to see disciples made unto Jesus Christ, not just people becoming church members and helping us achieve our personal ambitions as ministers. I believe there's a word from the Lord that is clear. And the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And this is the preaching that needs to be done in this time that we're living in right now. And it comes out of the Old Testament. It said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and spare not.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just because there's a businessman there that may cut off his tithe and be offended, don't hold it back. Amen. Spare not. Amen. Just because there's someone in your congregation that's participated in a particular sin that needs to be declared, spare not. Tell the truth. Amen. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and spare not. And who is this for? Is it for that pagan world out there? No, he said, and show my people their transgressions. And the house of Jacob, their sins. Can you say amen? Why? Why would he want his people to hear something like that? It's because he wanted to bless them. He wanted to keep them. He wanted to defend them. He wanted to prosper them. He wanted to care for them. And he said, listen, Make no mistake about it, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And my hands are not short that they cannot say. But your sin has separated between you and your God. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Can you say amen? We don't want to talk about that. It's one of those taboo messages. When preachers say, I never mention sin, I want to ask them, why are you preaching the gospel? Amen. What did Jesus come to do? What is this communion all about? This is the New Testament in my blood that is shed for the sins of many. It's so sinners can be forgiven. Can you say amen? So that we can, listen, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin because of what He has done for us at the cross, He is faithful. And He is just. How can God be just and just look over sin? He's not looking over it. He's forgiven it. Amen. And He's forgiven it because it's been judged in Christ. Amen. So that He can and still be just. Can you say amen? If you want to know how serious sin is, the whole blood sacrifice system was to communicate that sin is so serious. And there's one reoccurring theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation. And that is the innocent is suffering so the guilty can be pardoned. Say it with me. The innocent is suffering so that the guilty can be pardoned. One of those sacrifices was a lamb. It was to be a lamb, a particular, peculiar lamb. Jesus earned the title, the Lamb of God. When John saw Him, he said something that took everybody back. When he saw Him coming, before he baptized Him, he said, "Behold, the mighty prophet of Israel. Behold, the Messiah of Israel." That is not His first declaration. When He saw Him coming, He said, "There's one coming after me whose shoes I am not even worthy to unlatch." When He comes, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But He didn't say when He saw Him, "Behold, the baptizer in fire."
Amen. Hallelujah.
When He saw Him, He saw what He came to accomplish. God dropped it in His heart. You know, God drops revelation into people's heart way before the New Testament. In the ancient book of Job, after all of his trials, when he had boils on his body, had lost everything he possessed, his friends turned against him and accused him, and his wife, she was a big help. Amen. She looked at him in that condition and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You know what happened? God dropped something in his heart. One of the oldest books of the Bible, and yet there's a New Testament revelation of a Messiah that would come to redeem and ransom the souls of men. What got dropped into his heart? And he was so convinced of it because God dropped it in his heart that he rose up and declared, "I know my Redeemer lives." And at the last day, see, he hadn't even come in the manger yet. But he was alive already in heaven. There's a Redeemer designated to come and ransom the souls of men. And I know that He lives. And at the last day, He's going to come down hill. And He's going to stand upon the earth. And when He stands up on the earth, though the skin worms eat my body, I'm going to stand up with Him. Can you say amen? Yeah. Woo! So the same thing happened to John when he saw Him. He said, "Behold, I know what He came to do. I know what He's going to do. I know what His mission is. I know He's a great prophet. He's a great healer. He's a great teacher. But I know what He can. He's God incarnate. He's Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh. But I know what He's going to do. His mission, His purpose. Behold, the Lamb of God." That does what through His sacrifice? What all sacrifices did. Take away the sin of the world. take away. There's a difference in the Old Testament appeasing God for a season. And by the way, every Old Testament sacrifice was all based on the blood of Jesus to come. Not one of those sacrifices would be accepted except it was a foreshadow of Jesus to come. And God accepted it kind of like as an appeasement until Jesus came and ratified the new covenant. Can you say amen? So they took a lamb without blemish. They took the lamb in. And the word lamb for Lamb of God in the New Testament was a little pet lamb. And the reason it was called a pet lamb is because they had to cut it out of the herd. It couldn't get cut. It couldn't get diseased. It couldn't get bruised. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. So they cut it away from its mama, took it out of the flock, and they kept it near the home because it was to be offered up as that family's sacrifice lamb. Everybody say Christmas. It's not Christmas anymore, but let me give you a little Christmas insight today. I think it's so, so powerful to me. There's argument over whether it was winter, whether it was summer, whether it was when it was. Oh, my goodness. How easily we are distracted, amen, from the great truth of His love and His coming that we just want to split over anything. We can split hairs over everything. You know, Brother Venable, when's Jesus coming? Be ready. An hour you think not, He's coming. Well, I believe He's going to come here. Just be ready. Just be ready. Be ye also ready, for an hour you think not. If you're ready when He comes, you'll be ready. Can you say amen? And if you ain't ready, you ain't ready. Get oil in your lamp and keep them trimmed and burning. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. The reason it could have been winter, it didn't have to be summer. I know they were not in the fields in the winter, but there were sheep in fields in winter. You know what sheep they were? They were particular, peculiar sheep. They were the sheep that were corralled to be offered as sacrifices. And the shepherds that kept those sheep were not keeping those sheep to raise and to sell at the marketplace. They were just watching over these lambs that would be taken to the temple to be sacrificed. And God is such a precision God. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, who got the first message about that? Amen. The kings didn't come till way later. It shows them all there together. Amen. It was a long time before the kings ever showed up. But who got the first message? Amen. The shepherds. What shepherds? The shepherds that were watching over the lambs that were designated to be sacrificed. And their fields was near Bethlehem. Isn't that incredible? Amen. So God appeared to those shepherds. Why? Because a lamb had been born. Amen. And John saw Him as a full-grown man, 30 years old. And when he saw Him, he said, I see more than this powerful, anointed, God incarnate man. I see a sacrificial lamb here. God dropped it in His heart. Jesus came to give Himself a ransom on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God that through what? His sacrifice would do what? Take away the sins of the world. You know what that means? Everyone. Oh, friend, don't buy into election. Don't buy into predestination. A God that says, before you're born, I've damned some people to hell and there's nothing they can do about it. I've sealed some people for heaven and there's nothing they can do about it. Jesus said something entirely different. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. When I preach Jesus, Brother Taylor, and His saving grace, all of heaven's angels stand with me in the pulpit. All of heaven's resources are mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, by the way, there's a whole mess of people out there teaching that. It's Calvinism, if you want to know the term and who started it and really promoted it. And a lot of people are buying into it. So why do we... Then world evangelism is useless because people are helpless and hopeless. But Jesus came for the sins of the world. When he held up the cup that we're going to hold up in Holy Communion, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for the sins of many, not just the select, elect, chosen few." You know what makes you elect? When you receive Christ. In fact, he's elected to save you before you receive Christ. But you have to receive Christ to be saved. Hallelujah. But the day you receive Christ, who are these chosen ones? Amen. The day you receive Jesus, you are chosen of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you choose Christ, make no mistake about it, God has chosen you for salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sins of the world, my brother. The whole world. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He that believes shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. Not because God wants it, but because they refuse to receive the provision that God has made. Make no mistake about it, Jesus came to be a sacrifice lamb. And John saw it, and John knew it. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Just wanted to get that across. We may not even get into this whole covenant study here today. We've got so many things we just need a Bible study for. Your Bible is divided between two covenants, the old and the new. The old covenant is full of promises made concerning the Messiah. The New Testament is promises kept. Can you say amen? And everything that he's done at Calvary from the New Covenant forward is in the past tense concerning those who receive him as Savior. Amen. It's in the past tense. It's not something God may do or might do, is going to do. It's something he's accomplished in Christ and through Christ in our behalf. Hallelujah. It's in the past tense. When we celebrate communion, we're celebrating what he's done for us at the cross. Yes. Not what he's going to do, but what he's done. Amen. But because of what he's done, we can have an assurance of what he's going to do. And one of the things he's going to do is he's going to come again. Yes. He's going to come again. For as often as you drink this cup, you do show, proclaim the Lord's death till what? Till he come. Hallelujah. So it looks back to the cross where he paid the price, where he fulfilled, the ransom was paid in full. And then it looks forward because he says, because you received me as your Savior, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until what? The day of redemption. What's he redeeming? He's already redeemed our soul from hell. What is yet to be redeemed? Amen. This physical body. Amen. I want you to know God is not going to leave nothing undone that sin and Satan has messed up. He meant for man to live in this body forever. Amen. On this planet. So if you think you're going to go sit on a cloud and become protoplasm, you know, some kind of, you know, something we need to call Ghostbusters for, can you say, man, who are you going to call? You think you're going to be an old piece of green protoplasm sitting up on a cloud for eternity? No. No. God said the devil's not going to win this thing. Amen. In those bodies that sin has tainted and tarnished and would, in those bodies are coming up. They're going to be sown in weakness, but they're going to be raised in power. Corruptible. That's why we age. Corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And mortal, that's why we die physically, is going to put on immortality. And it's going to happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Not the blinking, but the twinkling. Amen. Isn't that incredible? And our vile bodies, our old bodies that wear down and wear out, are going to be fashioned after his glorious body. And when he comes, we're going to know him. Because we're going to see him as he is. You know why? Because we're going to be like him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And John said, if you think heaven is going to stay up there, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He said, I saw the holy city. The one that he describes in detail. I saw that city. 1,500 miles that away. 1,500 miles that away, this away, and that away. A city four square. 1,500 miles four square. And 1,500 miles tall. That's what he said. Can you imagine the size of somebody said there's room at the cross for you. Hey, there's room in that city for you too. It can accommodate you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, literally in the Greek. Don't go South Fork on me. Can you say, man, for just a moment? I've seen some beautiful homes down here, but there's nothing to compare with what he got. He said, oh, man, listen, are many abiding places. Amen. God wants you close to him. God wants you close to his throne. He said, you won't have a light bill for the glory. Listen. The glory of the Lord is going to illuminate that entire city. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, somebody more excited over not having a light bill than going to heaven. I talk about heaven, everybody said amen. I talk about a light bill, everybody said amen. I won't have no light bill. Oh, glory. Whatever it takes to get them shouting, right? For the Lord himself. Oh, I know it's going up. Summer's here. Amen. You can put a sweater on in the cold. Can you say, man, turn the thermostat up, but you got to turn her down in the summer. A friend of mine at work, he had a little old three-cylinder car. I don't know what it was, but it was three-cylinder. It was an old car, too. Man, you could tell we didn't make much by the cars we drove anyway. He went and picked his grandson up. His grandson, he's a car. He's 5 years old, and he is a car. He said he got in that car, and they took off somewhere. And he said, Grandpa, because they're in this little car, you know. You could just reach clear across. He said, Grandpa, turn on the air conditioning. Because his mama had a Ford Explorer, you know. He reached over past him and rolled down his window. He said, Grandpa, ain't you got no air conditioning? He never rode anything without air conditioning. His same little kid. He's a card. Took him to the dentist, and his daughter's husband, his son-in-law had left his daughter, and they were, she had lost her job. They had a dental appointment for the little kid because he had a loose tooth or something. Took him to the dentist's office, and his grandpa went with him. Said they put him in the chair. He sat down. Doctor come in and said, well, son, how are you today? He said, we're flat broke. My mother's out of work. We're flat broke. That's one way of getting out of the dentist chair real quick in most dentist's offices. See, true riches is not based on the car you drive, the house you live in. Amen. True riches is based on an understanding and an appreciation of what you have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible said when you have Christ, literally you have everything.
Yes.
You're complete in him. Amen. It's a done work. Amen. He has given us, listen to the past tense. Communion is talking about what he's done. And because of what he's done, looking forward to what he's looking now to what he's doing, and then looking forward to what he's going to do. But it begins with the done deal. It begins with the finished work of Christ on the cross. He hath given us, because when he finished it on the cross, it was provided for us. He's given us everything. Has given us. Not going to give us. May give us. We have to twist his arm to get. He's provided it for us. See, a big part of faith is not trying to twist God's arm. It's trying to get us to the place to receive. You don't have to twist God's arm to save a lost man. That man don't have to twist God's arm. You know why? Because he accomplished it for him at Calvary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we bid them come. Come, come, come and receive. As many as what? Received him. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I love what one preacher said. I think it was me. Amen. I'm going to quote myself today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God takes a unholy man out of an unholy world and makes him holy. And then puts him back in that unholy world and keeps him holy. Amen. Only God can do that. Amen. Because he's given us all things that pertain to life, eternal, and life abundantly here. And when I say abundant, there are people that are so unspiritual they think of earthly possessions. Because that's the world value system. That's the culture. We're talking about something that's so far beyond worldly possessions. What price? What were you ransomed with? See, the tradition of their fathers looked at everything in the material and physical sense. In fact, under Abraham, one of the ways that God showed his favor was through materially blessing. He made Abraham rich. Amen. And you know why I could trust him with riches? Because Abraham did. You know what he did with all his money? He lived in tents. He lived in tents. He was one of the richest men of his day. And you know how he got to be one of the richest men of his day? He came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. There was trouble between him and Lot. Lot's herdsmen, his herdsmen, the flocks would get mixed up and they would fuss over who was going to graze at the biggest, nicest pasture. And they came to Abraham with their problem. You know what Abraham said? He said, "You pick any pasture you want. You have first choice. We'll go the other." See, he knew if I keep my heart right with God and keep him as my source, he'll bless me no matter where I go. Amen? I don't have to fuss and fight and grope and grab. He'll just bless me. Deuteronomy 28 is what he was activating. Amen. "If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that I command you this day, these blessings will come on you and they'll overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed going out and you'll be blessed coming in." Can you say amen? What did Lot choose? He said he looked toward Sodom because the grazing land and the agriculture said it was as Eden. This was a rich agricultural land. He said, "My sheep can graze. I can do business." And he built, cast his tent toward Sodom. And he became comfortable doing commerce by going into the city and out. And it wasn't long before he moved into Sodom. And it wasn't long before he was part of the society of that city until God came to call him out before judgment fell upon it. He became comfortable in Sodom. He had a covenant with God. He sustained a right standing with God by covenant when he was in a compromised state. It said it bothered him living there. But see, the material gain caused him to override the conviction in his own heart. The New Testament said his heart was vexed day and night by the filthy conversation or behavior of the wicked that he had to interact with day and night. He felt it, but he didn't do anything about it until God came and called him out. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We all feel it if you're a Christian. You feel it if you're a Christian. But God is. Make no mistake about it. God's message to the church in this culture is to come out from among them. "And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And I will be a God." Oh, for what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Amen. "And I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And as it is written, I will walk in them and I will live in them." Hallelujah. Amen. While Abraham is being blessed outside the city without going into the city or compromising because of God's blessing, enemies came and took the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, captive to hold for ransom. Abraham took a band of anointed men and delivered those two kings from the hand of their captors. And they were so glad to be free, they said, "We're going to give you, Abraham, a king's ransom." Wow. You know what Abraham said? We talked about priorities earlier, didn't we? We're still talking about priorities. You know what Abraham said? He said, I'm not going to take one dime from you fellas. See, it was all done through God's Spirit with him. You can't buy that. It ain't for sale. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. That's not what paid your ransom. After the tradition of your fathers, they looked at everything through those lenses of materialism. But you were redeemed with something so far beyond that, with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. That is the cost for your redemption. Can you say, man, it's beyond price. It's beyond bartering with. Don't ever listen to the devil when he says, if you follow Christ, it will cost you this. Oh, no, no. The kingdom of God is like a treasure, Jesus said, hid in a field. When a man discovers what it truly is and what it is truly worth, he gives up everything he's got to buy that field. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got a lot, but I'd sell it all if I knew in Brother Taylor's backyard. Listen, in California, they found several million. They were just out walking around their back lot. They didn't even give their name. They don't want him to come and try to borrow anything from them. Can you say? They wouldn't give their name. They're just walking around their backyard. They stumble over, just kind of, you know, had been buried for years, some old box-looking thing. They open it up. It's full of old coins, and it's worth several million dollars, something like 30, 50 million. If I knew that in Brother Taylor's backyard there was an old chest with $30 million in it, I'd sell my little old house. Amen, of course, see, the thing is, the time I paid the mortgage off, there wouldn't be much left to give you, my friend. I would borrow money from somebody. I'd ask everybody at church to help me and invest. I'd buy the field. I'd give it all up. I wouldn't sell my wife or my dog because I love them too much. Can you say amen? But I'd give up my television. My wife said, sell me, buy me back after you get the money. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd give it all up. I'd be foolish not to. I used to play in the woods before it was developed. 579 was a dirt road I lived in between Mango and Sefner, and there was woods, and there was wildcat, and there was bobcat, and somewhere way back in the woods, you could hear a panther back when I was growing up that lived in those woods. Snakes across the road. It was wild. But there was a tree way back in the woods, and there was a big hole underneath that we could crouch down and go into. When I was about 12 years old, we could just crouch a little bit, go right under the root system because it had been dug out. And you know what the legend was? That there a man came. He came with a pickup truck and four men he hired to dig. And he had a map. And they dug and they found a chest. He did not open it. They pulled it out, loaded it in the back of the pickup truck. He gave them all $10 for digging. And he took off in the pickup truck, never seen or heard from again. But the hole is there that we used to walk down in and play in. And they all figured that he had a map where there was pirate's gold, a map where somebody had hid a treasure, whatever it was, but they took it and they got it. Listen, when a man finds a treasure, when he sees the kingdom for what it truly is, amen, when he understands what you have in Christ, you wonder why missionaries sell everything and go to preach the gospel out of love and devotion to this king? What's in it for them? Why would they do that? Because they see the kingdom. They understand and appreciate what it is to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some of us have trouble giving a little bit to God because we want so much for us. You need to get a kingdom understanding, a kingdom appreciation. Can you say amen? You need to understand what the true riches are. Brother Taylor, I'd make you an offer. I'd make you an offer, my brother. I'd say, hey, listen, I want to buy your house. I want to buy your land. I've sold everything I've got. I want to buy it. Why would you want to do that, Brother Venable? Because there's a treasure in your backyard. I tell Brother Taylor there's a treasure in his backyard. He said, I ain't selling at no price. I'm not selling out. All right. He said, I'd make you a rich man too if I had it. I was thinking about him the other night. I actually told the Lord something about you. Amen. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to bless that man. So if he does it, I'm going to bless you. In fact, if he don't do it, I may bless you anyway because, well, I can't bless you because I don't have it yet. But if he gives it to me, I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. I thought if I became a multimillionaire, you know what I'd do? I'd have a Sunday, and I'd say, I'd do like Oprah. Oprah gave everybody in her audience, because Pontiac Corporation, was it Pontiac? It was the Pontiac. They came out with the G6 Pontiac, and they wanted to advertise it. They made a deal with Oprah, because it's free advertisement for them. It may cost them a lot of money. It costs more to put it on the Super Bowl, can you say? and almost as much people watch Oprah anyway. Everybody in the audience today, you know, you usually get a little something, you know. You're going to get this little something other, you know, a little token something. Everybody in the audience today, Oprah says, is going to get a G6 Pontiac, brand spanking new. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be something? I would love, Mike, I'd love to come to church and just have a fleet and have them drive them down here from a dealership. I'd try to figure out what each one of you need. I see this man, sports car. Go ahead and put the sunglasses in it. Because I know how old he is, and I know we're going through the middle-aged crazies right about now. Actually, we're past the middle-aged crazy. We're somewhere up in the other crazy, can you say? Oh, who? Say that again. Old-timers crazy? Alzheimer's crazy. Hallelujah. Dementia. Anyway, Festus's girlfriend, yes. My name is Dementia. It means crazy. My name's Festus. It means to rot. I'm way off track. You know why I'm excited? Because the cross is a done deal. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Because He wants everybody saved. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, is the message in the 21st century. We don't need something new. We don't need something different. Hallelujah. We need Jesus and Him crucified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Philip went down into Samaria and he preached prosperity to them. No. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached casting out demons to them. No. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached healing to them. No. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And people got saved by the scores. And he went down to Samaria and preached deliverance. No. He went down to Samaria and preached Jesus to them. And demons cried and came out of the demon possessed, the lost got saved, and the sick got healed.
Glory!
And then people got so hungry for God, He was trying to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. He went back to the mother church and called for all that would come down and help Him lay hands on them. Amen. What was the message? Jesus! Wow. Peter came off the roof, went to Cornelius' house. What did he preach? Jesus. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius and his house. And the Holy Ghost fell on his servants. And they all begin to speak in tongues. So if you think it was just for the day of Pentecost, you better read a little further in the book of Acts. Can you say amen? If you think it was just for the... Read a little bit further. And what did they do because of that? Because the Jews were suspect that grace was given to the Gentiles still. So they called Jewish leaders to come down to Cornelius' house. And these are the leaders that had received Christ as their Savior and had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, we know God has shown grace to the Gentiles, but we hear them talk in tongues just like we do. Oh yeah, that's in your Bible. I know some people wish it wasn't, but it's there. And it's glaring and it's speaking today. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just for Pentecostal people. Hallelujah. He preached Christ unto them. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And his goal of his life was, oh, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Can you say, man, he was pursuing Jesus. He was pursuing Jesus. He's pursuing Jesus. I went to cast out a devil one night at a coffee house in Sulphur Springs where they were praying for people off the street, and somebody come in and started talking back to them and defying them and carrying on. And they called me at 12 o'clock midnight to come down from Plant City to Sulphur Springs because they got a hold of something they couldn't handle. So I prayed on the way down because I wasn't, you know, didn't have a lot of, that's not my primary ministry. If it happens, it happens, and we're capable of dealing with it. Amen. But I'm not a demon hunter. You understand what I'm saying. That's not my calling, is just to go hunting devils. Amen. Devils come hunting me. I don't have to hunt them. Amen. So, because I'm ready. But I am ready. Because I know the name that holds authority in three worlds. Hallelujah. I know that name has authority. And we've got authority to use that name against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. So I walked in the door, and the eyes never came open of the person. But when I walked in the door, that person cried out, why did you have to come? And I thought, uh-oh, the devil just let me know that he knows who I am in Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? He just tipped his hand. Why did you have to come? He knew somebody just walked in that knew the authority of Jesus' name and had the authority to use it. Can you say amen? And who has that authority? Some greatly anointed preacher. No, every single child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Glory be to God. Amen. I walked over and I said, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, I adjure you, come out. Now, I didn't know what to expect again. But that voice, that old gravelly voice, cried out, don't say that name. Don't say that name. That bothers you? Oh, man. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hold your peace. Come out. Took a little while. But once all that occurs and you know who you are in Jesus and the devil has tipped his hand. Remember the seven sons of Sceva, a Jew? They had saw Paul and some of the others casting out devils. And they said, there's so many people here with devils. We can make a mint casting out devils. Can you say, man, we can rack up. We're going to hire ourselves out as, what is it, the exorcist. We are professional exorcists. We got the formula down. See, just anybody can't use the name of Jesus. You got to have authority. You got to be authorized by God to use that name. But when you're authorized and delegated that authority, it holds great power. In heaven and earth and beneath the earth, according to the scripture. So they decided, without knowing Christ as their Savior, just to use the formula they'd heard Paul use. So they seven of them got together, and they're going to get this man delivered. I keep telling this. I got to tell it as we close and have communion. But this lady had an alcoholic husband, verbally abusive, physically abusive. He's a big man. She's a little woman. There's a lady at church that considered herself to be somebody that had that authority. And so she had great compassion on her. And so they decided that they're going to cast the devil out of him. He got dead drunk, went to sleep on a Sunday afternoon after church. He said he's in bed asleep. He got up, drank all night, got up this morning drinking, cursed me, and now he's asleep. She said, well, I'm... And the lady that went with her told the story to us. Said they went down, it was an old screen door in Plant City, you know, no air conditioning, old screen door. And they walked up on that porch and they walked in that back bedroom and said, that woman, he's dead asleep. Said she went over and she jumped right over him and said, in the name of Jesus, you devil, I command you to get out of him. He jumped up, come running at her. She went running out the front porch, slapped that screen door open. It hit the side of the house, run down through the yard toward the car, and said, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. So you don't just jump on somebody unless you know who you are and they know who you are in Christ. By the way, they didn't cast the devil out of him. They did get away without him catching them. Anyway. Yeah, it gets crazy out there sometimes. So they begin their exorcism and using the formula they heard someone authorized to use the name of Jesus. They said they're going to use Paul and Jesus. They're going to cover all the bases. And said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Paul and Jesus. We got it covered. We got it down. Come out! Said he jumped on them because he's empowered by Satan. Seven of them. He jumped on them. He beat on them. He hurt them. And he left them, pulled their clothes off of them. And left them raggedy and bruised up. And they decided, you can't just use that name just because it's a name. You've got to know Christ. And you've got to have that authority granted you by God. Amen? But when Paul came along, and when Jesus came along, it's an entirely different story. All Jesus had to do was walk up on the scene. And a man called Legion, that was so filled with demons and devils, they tried to chain him, and he would break literally the chains with supernatural strength. When Jesus came on, the devils began to cry out. We know who you are. See, they knew who he was. They recognized the authority. Hallelujah. We know who you are. Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to persecute us before something else? The devil knows our time. The devil knows, and every minion in hell knows. Their days are numbered. His time of freedom on this earth to tempt and to hurt is limited. A day is coming when an angel, God ain't going to touch him. God's done defeated him. Jesus ain't going to touch him. He's done defeated him. But an angel is going to take hold of that old serpent, the devil, and cast him into a pit with no bottom for 1,000 years. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a fallen angel. He's defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The new covenant does so much more than the old covenant could ever do. The old covenant was a foreshadow of things to come. The new covenant, the old covenant is looking forward. Now that we're in the new covenant, we're looking back to what he did at the cross that made everything possible. Behold, I give you power. I give you power. I have all power in heaven and earth, and I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Can you say amen? In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my authority, delegated authority. Can you say amen? So much more to say about this, but our time is gone. We're living in a day when the Church of Jesus Christ is not spiritual enough to discern the kingdom of God anymore. All we can see is the material world. And we become social instead of spiritual. We become relevant relevant. We got a relevant church, a church that's relevant to the culture, because we're talking about the things that the culture holds in high esteem. We've got churches staffed with clinical psychologists, but no one that can deal with the devil. Institutions filled with the insane. And we're trying to blend pop psychology and psychobabble with the delivering power of Jesus Christ. You've got to have it one way, or you've got to have it the other way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We don't need a clinical psychologist to try to figure out what in the world is wrong with you. We need an altar, amen, where people do business with God.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Because you get right with God, you're not going to need a shrink.
Amen.
You're not going to need a psychologist. I'm not against medicine, even for the mental. But I'm telling you, you get God's peace, you're not going to be troubled anymore.
Amen.
If it's unobtainable, then we need to go to the world and put our trust in the world. But if this is promised and provided by Jesus Christ, we need to be able to receive it, Brother Taylor.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will never concede that God is impotent and we can't go to Him and we can't get help from Him. We got preachers further in their education. They become more cerebral than spiritual. They don't lay hands on the sick. They don't offer deliverance for anyone who is bound. But they offer a great theological presentation on Sunday morning, pursuing greater knowledge of it in the head with no real experience in the life. And today we need deliverance in the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus was anointed to set the captive free,
yes,
to set at liberty those that are bruised, to declare the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Spain and I went to Haiti. There's a guy that was casting devils out of Christians. So he just had that devil casting out ministry. He wanted to get down there and get a hold of some demons in Haiti. See, he had never run upon real demon possession. He had never run upon it. He got down there and saw the real deal. And he backed off. He decided he wasn't in the deliverance ministry anymore. I asked him why that he backed off. He said, well, you know, I have to fast and pray. It takes so much of my time. I thought, well, just keep on backing right away from it. So Brother Spain and I were down there together. And we Pentecostal preachers go way back. We believe in the authority of Jesus' name. Believe we had the authority to use it. Praise God. And you know what emboldened us? I was preaching on a Sunday morning. And, you know, there's only about 1,000 people there, 10,000 at night, but about 1,000 people in the Sunday morning teaching time. We heard this drums beating. I'm preaching with an interpreter, Francois Fenelon, and he's interpreting for me. And these drums are beating, and everybody stops and looks around. And I've lost the audience right then and right there. I knew I've lost this audience because of this diversion. And I think, what's the devil doing now? What's he up to now? And I asked Francois, because it's like a parade. There's about 36 of them, and they're walking, and they're holding up these kind of totem-looking things. And I asked Francois, what is this? What's going on here? He said, oh, these are the voodoo priests and the voodoo followers, and they are trying to put up barriers against us for preaching Jesus. And they're calling on demons. They're calling on the darkness. And I thought, oh, that's what this is all about. So this is now going to be between, it's not just between us and them, it's between God and them, it's between Christ and them. Amen. So I said, where are they going? He said, they're going down to a cemetery where they bury and do these rites over people. They're going down there and they're going to stay and beat those drums off. And they did. We heard those drums beating all night long. They were calling on demon powers to try to stop. And I thought, that, you know what that is? That is fear. That is abject fear. The devil is so afraid of the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ that he's trying to call every demonic force into play to try to come against the proclaiming of the gospel. Amen. And I thought, oh Lord, you are so mighty, you are so good, and the anointing of God come on me. And I began to preach, and I forgot that I had an interpreter. I was supposed to stop and let him say what I said, and I didn't stop. Amen. And suddenly, 30 minutes into the message, I turned around and I said, oh, excuse me. I said, I didn't stop. I know I didn't stop. And he said, keep on preaching, Pastor. Keep on preaching. He said, you don't have to stop. Said, the Holy Ghost that's on you is on me, and I know what you're going to say before you say it. Hallelujah. He said, while you're saying it, I'm saying it in French Creole, right along beside of you. And I noticed that when I was like this preaching, he was like that preaching. Hallelujah. And right after that service, after the devil had showed himself, God showed himself, because they had a young woman about 30 years old. She was bound because she... And they had her bound with cloths so she wouldn't hurt herself with ropes. And they brought her down and she was like this. And Brother Spain and I walked down and this daddy brought her daughter. She had become sick. They took her to the voodoo priest to do something over her. She became demon possessed. She began to curse us in English. And she didn't know English. But the devil knows every language in the world. Amen. So we went, we stood. They brought her down. And we said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ to loose her and let her go. She fell on the ground. And when she hit the ground, never seen a human body do this. She went back and forth. You know how a snake moves like that? On the ground, she moved like that. Humanly, even if you're double jointed, I believe it's humanly impossible. We commanded again, and she let out a scream, and then she just went limp. We had to leave. They took her home that way. We you know, it was 3 months later, the missionary got back with us, and he said, you know what happened? Said, everybody that was there that morning saw the power of God in operation.
Yes, sir.
And they knew that his power is greater than the voodoo priest, than the devil's darkness. Amen. And said the pastor of that little church down in Haiti, amen, said they brought that young woman back. She got saved. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. God set her free. And he did it through that little minister, because we were going back to America, but he's going to stay right there and proclaim Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What a mighty God that we serve. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 That's why we preach Jesus. Hallelujah. And him crucified. This is a new covenant established on better promises. Hallelujah. This is the covenant that is the consummation of all the old covenant that was looking forward to. It was consummated at the cross. And this is the new covenant that we're under and celebrating here today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus holds power.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And there is deliverance for the captive that
Amen.
Wants to be free. Glory to God. Sister Venable, I'm so excited about Jesus. Remember when Allie Hine came from Africa, missionaries in Africa? she said her and her husband went to this one village and said there's this one man. As soon as they started preaching Jesus, he come running at her and he was growling like a lion. Said, I've heard lions roar all my life. I grew up in Africa. And said, he came roaring, and it sounded like the roar of a lion. Amen. Satan walketh about his water, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He roared like that and came running at her. And she was so secure in Christ. She understood her authority. So she just stood her ground and said, "Stop right there, you devil, in the name of Jesus." And said, he went, I mean, he didn't squeal his tires because it didn't happen. But you know what I mean. He just come to a sudden abrupt stop and said, "Get away from me in the name of Jesus." And said he went backwards just as fast as he come running forward. Amen. He didn't come to get saved. He come to interrupt. Amen. But God showed again the power that he has over all these other powers through the name of Jesus Christ. And she talked like it was just one of those things. To me, it'd be a pretty big thing. Can you say, man? But to her, it's just another day. Another day in the kingdom of God dealing with the enemy. One to one. Hallelujah. The devil's much more subtle here in America. He's not as open. He's more subversive and subtle. But believe me, he's at work in this nation. He's at work in churches. He's at work in pulpits. He's at work. But God is at work as well. God is calling a people from a people. Hallelujah. Come out from her that you partake not of her plagues. Come out from among them and be ye who you're called to be. Separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Don't touch the unclean thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'll be a father to you. And you shall be what? My sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Chapter 8. Well, it goes into the next verse. It just goes into the next verse. Dearly beloved, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all, remember the cleansing that's going on here? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. He wants to father us. He wants to walk in us. He wants to live his life through us. He wants to keep us, protect us, provide for us. And he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's the lost message, even in Pentecostal church. Holiness. And yet holiness is spiritual wholeness. And God's called us to live a life that is diametrically different than the world about us. Not holier than thou, just holy unto God. Set apart, cleansed, set apart, and meet for the Master's use. When Paul used the name of Jesus, it was an entirely different thing. When Peter used it, it was an entirely different thing. Can you say, man, God is so good today. He loves you so much today. Praise God. It's time to receive Holy Communion and celebrate a brand new covenant that has given us such grace, such authority, such privilege, and such honor. Today, as we receive Holy Communion, if there's anything in your heart right now, Get it clear before the Lord right now. Ask forgiveness. Ask for cleansing. Right here and right now. If you're not a Christian, communion is irrelevant to you because you're not a partaker of Christ. But if you are a Christian and you need to get something straight, get it straight today. Let God bless you. Let God keep you. Hallelujah. 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 This is kingdom stuff. This is kingdom reality. Hallelujah. Mandada barushandada bakila. Setada masola bada. Nentada basikia. O todo barushala madidi. Ketana masini. Father, we praise you. 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 We thank you. We thank you. We thank you today.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise.
This is God's call to come closer. To come closer. This call is to the unsanctified today. Come upon. Come out from among them. If you're going to follow him, you have to choose him or them. And you have to choose him over them. And if you will, He will keep you. I'll be a father to you. No one will hurt you or harm you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. Hallelujah. He will love you. He will guide you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will secure you for heaven. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. He will mark you as His own. When He comes to take up His jewels, He will recognize you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship Him for just a moment. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our hands, Lord. Don't let us be double-minded.
The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you.
Jesus.
Drink and remember, He drained this cup that all may enter.
Hallelujah.
The life of God, so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of His sacrifice as a sign of abundance of grace.
Where are we?
Around the table of.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Supper of the Lamb. Amen. We're rehearsing right now, Sister Dale, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we all come around the King's table and He girds Himself, what an honor. How are we going to stay in our chair without falling out? He said He will gird Himself at that great supper. And every plate, angels aren't going to bring our plates at that table. You know who's going to serve us? He will gird Himself and serve us. Jesus Christ is going to bring your plate. Jesus is going to bring your plate, sit it before you. So I loved you enough to give my life for you. All of this that I did is so this can occur right here. And right now, the same night that He was betrayed, the same night that people were bailing out on Him, and He knew that very night that Peter would deny Him, and He knew that the cross was waiting before Him, He took bread and He broke it. Let me break the bread. He said, "This is My body that is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me, that you may eat the bread. I believe there's healing here in this service as well as the laying on of hands services. I believe there is healing. They that ate the lamb, they were to eat all of it. Put the blood on the doorpost, but consume the lamb. When they walked out of Egypt, there was not one feeble one among over 2 million people. With his stripes, his body's suffering, we are healed. With his shed blood, we are saved. He picked up the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. You may drink the cup." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God for salvation. Praise God Amen. For Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise God for a Father that loved us that much. Will you stand to your feet today? Let's have a celebratory song before we leave. I know you're tired. The good seats are up front. We're going to have a drive to get better seats. So that everybody has one of these seats.
And
get here early, you get the good seat. That's right. Hallelujah. God is so good today. We will remember. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How many are glad you came to Holy Communion service this Sunday to celebrate Jesus? Hallelujah.